Hello and welcome to the Soul Seeking Love podcast. My name is Alicia, but you can call me Leash. Join me each week as I go on a journey to answer life's biggest questions and probably ask a few more along the way. Thanks so much for joining. Welcome back. So we ended last week with the part two of the crutches story, which was like the lesson behind why the date itself, the story was funny, and you know how I knew that it was not the right person and what the red flags really were. But I talked a lot about that comment that Big had said to me that I never understood until recently, where, you know, it's not, just to recap real quick if you haven't heard, Big used to always say to me when we were dating, you know, that he trusted himself to be good whenever I would walk away. And I never understood that. I thought that that was just an avoidant tactic. And the more I think about it now, and it's actually something that I'm working on in my current life, now that it's almost 2 months past crutches, I have plenty of other stories to share. I just thought this lesson was most important because it's brought me to where I am today. But how do you trust that inner voice? How do you trust the person that you are and know that you will be okay? How do you trust that that inner critic won't completely take over and start sabotaging you again? And the truth is, you really don't until you try. But here's what I've done the past 3 years now since Big to course correct and recognize the difference between my inner truth and the inner critic, the inner bitch. And it's been a very difficult path, a lot of back and forth. It feels almost as if there's a war inside, where there's the voice that's yelling at you all day. And apparently, just a real quick aside note, apparently not everybody has this inner monologue. Apparently not everybody thinks their thoughts and visualizes and sees things throughout their mind. They have to see it or hear it or read it in order to imagine it. And God bless y'all. I mean, really, just kudos to you for constantly living in a meditative state. I mean, if you're not, I would love to hear more about this. Shoot me a DM if you're one of those people. Are you just present all the fucking time? Like, what is that like? I would love to know. But for those of you who have that nagging inner critic, that inner monologue that just tells you that you're a piece of shit all day for not moving off the couch, even though you're burnt out and exhausted and haven't been sleeping, if you're one of those people like me, and you actually have to work really hard to cultivate the true inner voice and the true inner truth, right? This is what I've done to help kind of move past it or learn to dial it down. So I've spoken about Path of Love on the podcast. It's been a while. But that retreat really was like the first major shift after my yoga teacher training that helped me to like find a meditative space in my mind consistently. Do I have a consistent everyday meditation practice right now? No. Should I? Yes. But I feel, and this is like, I'm sure every meditation teacher is going to disagree with me, but I personally feel like when you're in a place where you can, you know that you can meditate wherever you are because you're so good at it. That sounds so ego. Let me rephrase. When you've meditated enough to know how to get to that space, regardless of what's around you, it's a lot easier to be in that state without having to sit and meditate every day. I still want to be that person that sits and meditates every day because I know it helps me in the long run. But it's part of my self-sabotage. So I'm working through that one step at a time. The first part was to like cut through the bullshit of the inner critic. And yeah, so in Path of Love, I learned how to get to that meditative state pretty efficiently. Not that it's fast, not that it's easy, not that it's like a step-by-step process. Just, it resonated so much with me that now I can pull it up, if that even makes sense. For those of you who meditate, it might make sense. But like, you could be standing on a busy street in New York City and close your eyes or not close your eyes, just focus on finding the stillness, and you will be able to find it if that's where you focus your mind. So it's almost like I learned how to give my mind a job, and the job was do nothing. That's the first step in how I rearrange my thoughts with the inner critic. Because when you have that constant nagging, you have to give it something to do, or it's going to do something without your permission. So I started telling it what to do. And the first thing I would tell it is, don't fucking do anything. Like, just do nothing. Which is extremely, extremely difficult to do. But once I, not mastered, but figured out how to do it, I'm working on the mastery, the consistency. Like I've said, the consistency is what I want to work on this year. That's the piece that I know I have to incorporate now. Like, I figured out how to do it. Cool. So I know that I can do it whenever I want. I need to do it now, consistently, all the day, all the time, whenever I want. Which is daily, is what I want. I also named it. I forget the name that I give it. It's either Rebecca or Rachel. I don't remember. It's like a very basic name. And I still forget it. It might even be Jessica. I don't know. I really should give it like a name like Ursula. That's even better. But I named it. The name changes clearly because I forget. But whenever the sneaking thoughts come in, I try to sit with them, and then I feel it in my body. And let's give you a perfect example, right? We can go off dating. Let's go off dating. Because you know what? Mr. Big came back. And I knew he would. We can talk about that in the next episode. And not came back in a monumental way. In a, like, I knew he was coming way. I felt it. Which is part of this episode. Like, learning how to trust your inner voice. I knew he was going to come back, and I thought a lot of things. So every time he comes back and talks to me about whatever the issue is of the moment, the inner critic runs back to my brain. And I immediately, every time I speak to him, start to judge what I look like, what I'm eating, how am I presenting myself to him, calculate the words that are going through your head to make sure that you're saying the right things. Like, I go right back to that place, to that person who's like constantly triggered and codependent, like trying to impress this person. And I notice that. So I have to consciously try to counteract that. And here's the thing. This is the next biggest nugget of information, other than learning how to clear the mind. The reason why you have to clear the mind is because the inner critic is shouting, it's screaming. Like, when Big comes back, it's screaming at me. The inner voice, your inner truth, is like a whisper. And you won't hear it, and you can't hear it unless it's quiet. Which is why you need your mind to be still and doing nothing. So, gosh, so much has happened in the past couple weeks because of Mercury and Venus in retrograde that a lot of shifts have happened to my life. I'm fucking exhausted. It's great. It's all good things, but it's just so tiring. And these lessons are even more evident. So I have to sit with the thoughts, feel them in my body, notice what's coming up for me, and then validate it. So I try to take time and mint it down when those thoughts come up and think, where is this coming from? Is this true? Is this real? And what am I doing when I'm asking those questions? I'm slowing it down. I'm processing at a different pace than what they're coming in. So I'm taking the time to rearrange the information and create that stillness back into my mind. And when that happens, the inner truth has an opportunity to present itself. And then it will whisper to me or provide me with some sort of insight as to whether or not that first thought was valid. And 9 times out of 10, it isn't. And it's not really serving me. And that's the point. Even if it was true, even if I was a horrible person or fat and lazy or I didn't deserve you know, love or whatever the voice is saying. Those are the most common things, right? Why do I need to think that? Like, even if that's true, what does dwelling on it actually do? And that's how I've started to reframe. It's like, okay, so maybe Mr. Big does hate me. Maybe I am a horrible person. Maybe I am lazy and a piece of shit that doesn't deserve to relax. But if that's the case, what would dwelling on it serve me either? It's just a vicious cycle. That's the self-sabotage. So not only are you doing the thing that like you supposedly shouldn't be doing according to this voice, but then you're sitting with it, thinking about it, feeling bad about it. It just doesn't, it doesn't serve anyone. Like, if you already know that you're a piece of shit, then why think about it, right? That's how you know it's fake. That's how you can catch it in the lie. Because if it were real, you wouldn't be dwelling on it. But the voice has to dwell on it to try to convince you that you're wrong. That's why it's shouting. It's shouting at you. Have you ever seen someone try to get your attention by whispering? I mean, in a sexy, seductive way, if you're alone in a quiet room or if somebody's mouthing something to you, yeah, that might work. But when somebody's mad at you or arguing with you or trying to convince you that you're wrong and they're right, they're not whispering. They're usually yelling, right? Their voice is raised, or there's passion and speed and intensity in their voice, which is different than someone just calmly saying like, hey, how are you? Right? For someone to really, truly get your attention, they don't have to scream. But if somebody's trying to get your attention and you don't want to give it to them, yeah, that's what they're going to do. Scream. Scream, yell, flail their arms, poster signs, lights, flashing neon lights, anything to get your head to turn. So then once your attention is there, do you engage? That is the pivotal moment, right? That's the pivotal moment. Somebody's honking their horn at you. Somebody's waving their arms to get your attention. Someone's screaming at you. Maybe they're trying to start a fight. Maybe they are trying to express something to you that you don't believe in or that you don't really want to put your attention on. How do you react? Because your initial reaction, whatever you just thought right now when I asked that question, like, yeah, I'd yell back. Yeah, I'd honk back. Yeah, I'd fight back. Good. Okay. So that's how you're reacting to your own inner critic. So now that you have that information, what can you do about it, right? That was me. This is all coming from a place of love, remember? Like, this is not me saying that anything is bad or good. It's all neutral, right? It's just information for you to discern what to do with. So for me, yeah, I fought back. I fought back all the time and I would scream back. But the problem was it would scream louder. Because it's me. So if I'm fighting with myself, yeah, it's yelling at me to pay attention. I'm yelling back at it to say they're wrong. I'm wrong. It's wrong. Whatever. Yeah, it's going to keep yelling. It's my intensity. It's going to match my own intensity because it's mine. So the only way to get rid of it is to stop feeding it. And that's what I decided to do. I would notice the thought and I would immediately, like, you know, I spent a lot of time alone in the pandemic, right? Like in my own apartment. Yeah, I worked a lot. But at work, I tried to be very present. I tried to stay active in conversation, active in what I was doing. You know, I listen to music whenever I can. Music helps me kind of like stay focused, even though it's kind of distracting me from what I'm doing. It helps me not think because in my head I'm singing instead of letting the thoughts race, and that's just something that works for me. But I would physically do something different. So if the voice came in and it's yelling at me and it's saying something mean or rude or just offensive to myself, I would like shake my head, I would shake my shoulders, I would flail my arms or like cross my hands across my chest, like push something away like I'm saying no. Or literally just say the words no. Or literally start laughing out loud and be like, oh, fuck you.
Literally. And again, I'm alone a lot. This happens a lot when I'm driving too, especially long drives. Like if I'm thinking and my thoughts are starting to wander by myself, I'm driving and the thoughts race into my head. Like you are a piece of shit, Alicia. You are not worthy of a companion. Whatever the thoughts are, like, again, they could be anything for you. But here are some of my residual ones. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy, right? I would literally be like, fuck you. Okay, stop. And then do anything to get myself out of thinking. So whether it's singing, dancing, moving, cooking, whatever. Whatever works for you. Those are some things that work for me. Anything like that to take you out of the thought, it doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to think anything else. You just have to stop thinking that thought. And then that practice comes over and over and over again. Because sometimes you'll say stop. Sometimes you'll say no. Sometimes you'll shift your body language or whatever you're doing. And it still comes back. And it's like part two. And it doesn't matter how many times it comes back in that one sitting. If you're actively trying to get rid of it. As long as you choose not to engage. Because eventually it stops fighting back. Right? Just like anything else. Like there's a bully on the playground. There's somebody like honking their horn at you. Okay. What do? You shift lanes. Okay. So maybe they shift lanes with you. All right. Eventually you end up turning two different directions because they're not going to the same place as you. And that's the same thing with your inner critic. It's not coming with you for this journey. If you're listening to this, if you're hearing this, if this is resonating with you, it's not coming with you on your journey because you are actively trying to get rid of it. If you're seeking these types of solutions, if you're listening to this type of a podcast, you are actively trying to overpower that inner critic. You already are just by noticing the fact that it is an inner critic. You can't label it as bad if you agree with it. If you're sitting there, like, I mean, for me, the first 29 years, 30 years of my life, I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a horrible person. I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of a true committed relationship or even friends or love in general. Nobody really loves me. They just like feel bad for me. These are all real thoughts that my inner critic would say and think all the time for me. And I believed it. I believed it for the longest time. And it wasn't bad. It was all I knew. It was truth. It took 30 almost years for me to realize, hey, maybe that's not my actual voice. Hey, maybe it's yelling so loudly, because it has to in order to keep me occupied and engaged with it. So, yeah, dialing it down is the hardest step of this journey. But the first step is even acknowledging that it's there. You have to realize that those are not your thoughts. You have to realize that you don't believe those horrible things you're thinking about yourself. And that's what I did. I decided that I didn't want to think those things anymore. So I'd be quiet. I would avoid that yelling voice, and I would listen for the whispers. And I did lots of meditating around it. I don't meditate regularly, but when I do, I get a lot of answers. And that's why I want to meditate every day. Sometimes I think, truthfully, I'm a little afraid of the power that will come from meditating every day. It's almost as if I already know once I start doing that, this voice is going to die. And even though it doesn't serve me and I don't love it and I don't need it, it's still a death I have to mourn and move on from. I feel this major shift happening in me where I know that I'm about to step into this whole new timeline of existence and life, and I'm ready, but I'm also scared because although I don't agree with that voice and I don't particularly want to hear it anymore, it is the loudest voice I have ever heard in my entire life. And the fact that I'll be reliant upon meditating in whispers to know my truth is a bit daunting. But again, the truth of the matter is,
without the yelling, screaming, nagging at me in the inside of my brain all the time, I might actually have space to hear more inner truths and whispers. So how do you find it? You dial down the other louder voice and then you just sit and wait. And that's the thing. It's not going to be as aggressive as the first voice, as the critic. So it's not going to nag you. It's going to gently remind you. It's not like a blaring car alarm. It's more like a, you know, random email that you get once in a while that doesn't even pop in your inbox. It's like in one of the random tabs in your email box, like, oh, by the way, this might be useful. You kind of have to search for it. You do. You have to search for it. You have to choose to hear that voice. And then when you choose it, it will choose you back. And I've been playing with that. So again, I played with the idea of checking Instagram to see what Crutches was up to. And I remember getting this weird feeling. And it came out of nowhere. Like I was working, I was focused on other things, and it wasn't a nagging, yelling noise. It was like a, hey, just like maybe check this out. Like if that's how I could articulate the voice, that's kind of how, I mean, I don't really hear it necessarily in my head. I kind of like feel or see it. I'm not like a, I think my words all the time, but I don't see them as words, like the Star Wars theme, like the words on the screen. I see them more as like, pictures and feelings. And I just got the urge to like, I saw myself looking on Instagram. So I did that. And again, yeah, I got my answer, which apparently every podcast episode is just going to be a continuation of the other, but here are the lessons I'm learning in real time. And here's how I'm teaching them to you or explaining them to you or regurgitating them to you so that they can make sense. So I'm trying to keep it linear. I'm like, this is like season two of The Witcher. Okay. Season one was all over the place. Season two, you know, what's coming. So I heard the voice and I was present and I checked it out and I was like, okay, yeah, no, this makes sense. This tracks. Like, I didn't have this strong feeling. I didn't have any crazy urge, but I know that I should probably do this. And when I sat with it, I was like, okay, well, what's the purpose? Are you feeling like this is just a curiosity thing? Or is this like a, you know, evil, like what's the intent behind it? And I had no intent behind it. I just kind of had a hunch like, oh, you know, it was innocent. It was neutral. It was like, oh, let me see if this person exists on social. I wasn't trying to catch him in a lie or whatever. I happened to. But like I was present enough to know that that voice was telling me, okay, do this. And not like nagging like, oh shit, you suck, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the point that I was trying to get at is, after a while, you can kind of test it and work with it instead of against it. Because that inner critic, the yelling one, that's resistance, right? That's resistance. That's you trying to prove it wrong on a good day. On a bad day, you just agree with it and it just eats at you. On a good day, you try to prove it wrong. So it's a fight. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But it's resistance. You have to fight for it. Whereas with patience and cultivating that inner voice, that inner truth, it's more like a receiving, an attraction, an allowing, an unfolding, a blossoming. And then you can use it to direct you where to go. Or you can ask it questions and wait for the answers. And that's what I did with Mr. Big. And we'll talk about this next week. But the question I asked was, are we done here? Because I need to be done here. I need to know with finality. I said to the universe, is what I call this inner truth, this inner voice. I call it the universe, or I call it my higher self. Depends on the day. It doesn't really matter. I said to the universe, I need you to nail this coffin shut. Because I got to be done with this. I'm moving on to bigger and better things. And either he's coming with me or he's not. So I need you to give me a clear-cut sign which direction to go. Because I can't have him keep coming up. In dreams, in texts, in visions. I'm done. He's coming with me in the future or he's not. And I got the answer. Not in the way that I thought I would, but I got it. And it wasn't a screaming, fighting resistance. It was an inner knowing of like, okay, this is where we are. So you didn't get a yes or a no. You didn't get the sign that you wanted specific. Well, I did get the sign that I wanted. I asked, again, we'll talk about this next week, how I worded this. But if you are patient and listening and observing instead of fighting and resisting and arguing with the inner voice, it can teach you things. And mine gave me the sign that I was looking for, but not in the way that I expected because I was open to it. I said, this is what I need to see, and this is the information I need to know. And the rest was up to them. It was up to the universe. It was up to my higher self. It was up to the spirit guides, whatever you want to say. But I said, this is how I need to receive it so that I know that this is real coming from myself. And this is the answer I need to get out of it because I need to figure out the answer. Whether I figure it out on my own or it's handed to me. I always prefer that it's handed to me, but it almost never is. It almost never is. So I'll tell you some signs that I've been working with the past few weeks. And they've all come back to me already. I put them out there and they come back real fast. So again, just to recap, how can you hear the inner voice? You can't. Unless you stop feeding the inner critic. So step one is to dial that down. Shake it off. Change your thoughts. Put on music. Say no out loud. Say, cross your hands or just like shake your hands or shake your head no if you can't speak out loud. Redirect the thoughts. If you can't redirect, then just completely do something that forces you to redirect. If you can't manually redirect them yourself. And then with meditation, with practice, with stillness, with presence, learn how to wait and sit and be in order to receive that inner voice. Because again, it's not going to yell at you. It's not going to try to resist you. It's not going to attack you the way the critic does. It's going to inform you. It's going to enlighten you. And it's going to require your presence and patience. So start there. And then next week we'll talk about how to use the signs to your advantage and how to work with them, how to call them, how to affirm the things that you want to affirm. Affirm them as in call them into your life and affirm them as in knowing that it is for you and it's not just some bullshit sign. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I really hope you enjoyed the conversation today. If you did, of course, you know what to do. Subscribe, rate, review, share it with a friend, and of course, I'll see you again next week. Thanks so much and take care.